Supergirl Gab, the show where we watch the CW Supergirl and then we talk about it. We are your hosts. I'm Chris.
And I'm Katie.
And this week we watch Season 3, Episode 12, For Good. And I was just telling you before we started that even though I took a lot of notes for while I was watching this week's episode, I still feel like this was a kind of easy to forget episode.
Yeah, I was thinking of that in the middle of the episode.
You're like, I'm already forgetting what happened in the episode I'm watching.
You know, because we're a little bit behind, so I actually saw the preview for this episode quite a while ago when I watched the episode, the Fort Ross episode, and also I had seen what the plot summary was, and even just looking at that, I'm like, well, this is going to get resolved. this is a one episode resolution and then yeah. They're going to move on to something else. And that was exactly what it was. And it was there was only really like one part of it that I felt like had any stakes. And the rest of it was very,
Yeah, whatever. Well, now what would you say dear listeners, in case it's been a while since you watched this episode, the basic plot.
I listened.
Yeah. The basic plot of the episode was Lena Luther and Morgan Edge are both rich people who don't like each other. And they both think the other is trying to kill them. And that's basically it. And then also Sam is then dealing with the fallout from her revealing to Alex that she is having all these, this lost time, all these memory issues. And honestly, I think that was sort of like the more interesting part of the episode.
Yeah, it was barely a plot. It just had a couple scenes.
Yeah, it was just, and there was no real resolution to it. It was just like, you've got these problems. You've got to let your friends in. You're not doing this on your own. Let's tell everyone. We told everyone. They said the same thing about you're not doing this on your own and you're great and we're going to get through this thing. And all I could think was during all of that, like every time they'd have one of those little scenes, but like just in the first time it happens when it's just Sam and Alex doing that MRI, and she's like, whatever the answer is, we're going to get through this together. And I was like, she has known them a couple months at most. And they're already like being those kind of people that like are there right by your side when you wake up in the hospital. And I'm like, there are people I have known since I've got friends I have known since I was 5 years old. And it's like, I do not think I could count on them to give me a ride to the hospital, much less be,
I will say, I think that Lena and her have known each other for much longer because that's why she brought her on for this. Yeah. That's the sense I got at least. So at least like they have a longer friendship.
But I'm also like work relationship. Where are Sam's old friends? Where are her friends from before she met these three?
I mean, where's Lucy Lane? We don't know. Like, where do any of the people go?
Yeah.
Like, where's Wynn's girlfriend who he was so
all
passionate
about?
Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of questions that you're never going to get the answer to.
What's Cat Grant doing right now?
What's Cat Grant doing right
Where
now?
Where is Superman?
That too. Yeah, and also, so, all right, I'll put a pin on what, because I have a gigantic question about this episode, but we're not talking about that part of it,
right.
So I'm going to put a pin in it.
Make a note.
I will. But I'm making a moat in my brain. But yeah, so like in some ways, I, as someone who is always hungry for female friendship on television, the one nice thing I'll say about this season, and really it's building off of earlier seasons, is that female friendship is a really big part of it, and supporting each other, and the idea that if something's wrong with you, if you should be looking for help, you shouldn't be hiding it. I like the fact that it's kind of implied that Sam opening up Chelena and her seeing how the other women are supporting Sam helped her open up to Kara and tell her what was going on. That was at least what the sense I got for how that those scenes kind of lined up, that Sam's revelation interrupted what was going to be a conversation with Kara. So part of me is like, you know, I'm not really mad about it. I do think it could have been stronger. I do think that it felt like they were, like with Sam's story, obviously she's not going to be fixed from being the secret baddie anytime right. soon. But yeah, so it was one of those things where you knew that it was just kind of them spinning their wheels. But at the same time, really my problem is that they're looking for Rain, and suddenly their friend that is the exact same body, like height and body type, and has the same color of hair and the same skin tone is like suddenly is having like memory issues
yeah.
and can't remember where she's been, and they line up real, like, how is it that neither Alex nor Kara did the math?
Neither of them are going, you know, it's weird. Every time Rain shows up, Sam is out of town,
yeah.
but then she doesn't remember it. And it's like, you'd think if anyone had any, you know, had sort of like a leg up on figuring out the whole, like, oh, you've just got something covering a little bit of your face and that doesn't fool me.
Yeah.
Like, you'd think that Kara would go, wait a minute, or use her. Did they say something about her trying to use her X-ray vision?
No,
why do the other other world killers not have masks, but Sam does? Oh, because she just happens to be their friend. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, exactly.
But if they
well,
want
no,
that logic,
because she's the fancy one,
yeah,
so she's the leader, so she gets the coolest outfit.
It's like, you know, if they wanted us to believe that nobody thinks that Kara and Supergirl are the same person, why don't they just have Sam show up in a different outfit and no one recognize her?
Yeah, yeah, that's
it's a like
good
they
point.
Go, it's like they
that's
said
really
it's
point.
Like they said in the room when they were coming up with this.
But no, wait. No, I have a perfect reason, cuz Kara wears glasses.
No, yeah, which is totally the same as like a huge mask over everything but your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I know we can't pull on these strings too much, but it's like,
yeah. I will also say, though, that, like, when Jimmy assaults
oh, my God, yes.
Morgan Edge,
I have that in, like, all caps. Yes.
Like, one, way to go, like, Miller Batman on Jimmy, guys. I know that he hasn't done a lot lately. I guess you really wanted him to be action-y. But also, like, how does Morgan Edge not realize that the guy who's, like, he can see a little bit of the skin tone of the guy assaulting him.
You can perfectly see his eyes.
Who is very, very passionate about protecting Lana Luthor.
Everyone in this universe is dumb.
Yeah,
that's
they
the
really,
thing.
Really
it's like
are.
There's people. They're smart in other ways. It's like no one in this universe has common sense. Or everyone's got like face blindness or something. Like, it's just, that's so unbelievable. It's like, why is there not just a visor on that thing? Like, it's ludicrous that you wouldn't put it, like, you would think you would have some kind of visor going on there. And then, you know, they've got like the Iron Man vision where it's like, he's got, you know, winds feeding him data and like, oh, there's where this is. You know, it's like, and they got all this other high tech stuff, but then it's just a regular plain helmet. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm kind of insulted for Morgan Edge, a character I don't even like, for him not realizing it and then like immediately using it to his advantage. Like it's so obvious.
You know, I just got physically threatened.
And I feel like a worm.
I just got physically threatened by a guy your height and build and skin color and with the exact same looking eyes and with a very similar voice just earlier today about the same person. So. But I can't work out who this guy is.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. So speaking of Morgan Edge, this was my big question. I could not figure out if Morgan Edge really did poison Lena or if it was, because what I thought was, I thought at first it was like, it was someone's pitting them against each other.
I could tell we're on the same page here.
Yeah. And then when it was revealed that the first attack at least was by Lena's mom, I was thinking, oh, then it turns out she also poisoned Lena in order to like pit her really against and like turn her evil, or, you know, make her go to the dark side. But then at the end, it's totally implied that no, that actually was. And I kept waiting for Lena to be like, I know what you did.
Yeah.
You know, I kept waiting for that. And it's fine if it was Morgan Edge, but they didn't, if they were being vague about it, then I assumed it was something else and it wasn't made clear. And I'm just like, I'm kind of just frustrated because the storytelling there should have been like, it's a mystery. And then they didn't really like fully explain the mystery.
Yeah. To try to keep it a mystery. They just lied to us at the beginning. Cause it really did seem like Morgan Edge didn't have anything to do with it. But it's like, it seemed genuinely like, what? I didn't do anything. And it's like, but then it was basically like, he was just saying when Jimmy was, you know, roughing him up and saying like, yeah, you didn't do it, but you hired someone to. And it's like, well, duh, these people, why on earth?
He didn't sneak in with a fake mustache to poison the coffee.
And it's just embarrassing to me on this show that it's like, okay, so Lena and Morgan Edge are both supposed to be like bajillionaires who run these big companies, but who are also like, you know, evil geniuses or just, you know, whatever. But it's like Morgan, neither of them have any security around them. Like, Morgan's just walking out to his car. Yeah. Like, he doesn't even have a driver in that first part of the episode. That was the thing that immediately, like, seemed weird to me.
Yeah,
he doesn't have a driver. He seems like the type who would have a driver. And even if he was, but then also, when he's just,
when they lingered on the valet guy, I was like, oh, he did something to the car. Because they're making very specific
this
camera
episode,
choices so that it lingers just a little.
This episode was just a mess. I think that's like, that feels like the long and the short of it is like, really, there's good stuff in here. I'm not like trying to cut the episode off at like 15 minutes. I'm just saying like, it didn't really occur to me like this when I was watching it, but as I'm thinking about it now, and as we're discussing it, and you're kind of seeing, because as I'm watching it, you know, I'm going, I don't know how this is going to play out, and you're just kind of waiting to find out what's going to happen. But then in discussing it now, and you're sort of seeing how it all hangs together, and it's just, oh, it's just a mess. You know, it's like it's almost like they were writing the script as it was happening, or they last minute had to change something. Cause just at the beginning of it, I really thought it was like, oh, this is something else to make us think, that's like trying to, like you said, trying to pit the two of them against each other, and it being Lillian.
Yeah. Red herring. Yeah.
And it being Lillian would be perfectly fine. Like, yeah. Okay. She's, you know, she's trying to, you know, like you said, do whatever her goals are. But then it's just, oh no, he just did it. And she's like trying to record him with like an old fashioned tape recorder.
Oh my gosh. Like, can we just talk about how I was like, this will not be admissible course. It's not going to be. You were basically saying, I know a missile's coming at you and I won't save you unless you record. And yet he gets taken away in handcuffs. I'm like, how? How does that
work? We just have to
assume
that the law is different there, where it's basically, I mean, she might as well have just put a gun to his head and held a tape recorder in front of his face and said, admit you did it. And then he go, okay. You know, like, admit you did it or I'm going to shoot you. And that's like ludicrous. And it's like, are the writers that dumb, or do they think we're that dumb? Or, you know, it's one of those things where you just go like, holy cow. And then to just, I mean, and I'm jumping to the end of the episode because who cares? Like, but like, which that already was, but you know, then just out of nowhere, the first time we see the Lexo suit and it's Lex Luthor and Lena Luthor's mom wearing it. And then
honestly, that one, not that I liked it, but I did laugh at the whole, like, of course she brought
it. I mean, I was excited to see it. Like, you know, I had the same reaction that Wynn did, you know? But
when
you take the fanboy part of it out, it's just like, what? Why would she do that? Why are any of these people, like, actually going and showing? If you have the kind of technology to have a suit that can make you fly. Also, oh my Lord, can we talk about how cheap that drone was? Like, that was clearly like an off-the-shelf drone that they tried to dress up. Like, when it's sitting there on that table, when Lena sees it, and then she's like, oh, she's going to be doing something with drones, eh? Like, I was just like, I laughed out loud when they showed that tight shot on that drone. And I was like,
Were the drones set up before? Like, did anybody mention them as part of the gala?
No.
At all. Okay, because this frustrates me, because here's the thing. I was telling Chris that we were cooking dinner while I was watching this episode tonight. So, like, occasionally, like, when we were running water or whatever, there were a couple lines I missed. So I thought maybe it's so frustrating because they could have set that up as, like, a thing so that it's not just, aha, I know where they're going. To the drone party.
Yeah, they should have.
I'm frustrated also because there's an arc in Batgirl that, where it's like the climactic, like, last issue of that arc that actually uses like weaponized drones way better. Like, weaponized drones used at a part at like a media party way better. And so, like, all that's making me want to do is reread that volume.
Just so much stuff. And it's like the idea that, like, to be helpful in this situation, even though he's the leader of the Legion of Superheroes, Mon-El has to, like, bring the drone to help.
Yeah.
Like,
so,
all just to give, I guess to give more people something to do. But, like, why was John just hanging out during that? Like,
So let's talk about Mon-El.
I think this episode has also already got to have, like, the most exasperated sighs I think we've ever had in an episode. Like, if you just take the number of sighs compared to the ratio to the number of minutes we've been recording, and there's already just been so many, like,
I don't know. There have been a few other episodes that I've definitely sighed at. Here's the thing. I will say the one thing about Mon-El in this episode, Mon-El scene, when he mentions, oh yeah, we used that against Zod in, you know, in the future. And Wynn goes, but Superman defeated Zod. Oh, are you telling me Zod comes back? And like,
oh right, the future. We're not supposed to.
We're not supposed to talk. But I just like the fact that he's surprised that a supervillain came back to life.
It's still novel to him.
Yeah, it's fun. But I like the fact that and Wynn's line a little bit before that, where it's like, on the bonus of it is that I get to know where Superman is at any time. I enjoy the nerd, like, he got to be like nerdy fanboy in this episode, and that was kind of like enthusiastic about like something cool happening. But so my thing with Mon-El in this episode is that it feels like three other episodes since he's come back from the future, and it's the same. It felt like they were just going
over. They just keep having the same scenes over and over.
Yes, where they're kind of awkward with each other, and then he decides to go and help her. And then they're like,
but they make a good team.
Yeah. Yeah, and then him saying, like, I just want to be as good a hero as you. That's still my goal. And I'm glad that I get to see you. And she's like, I'm glad I get to see you too. And I'm like, I've already seen these scenes, and I don't know why we're rehashing them.
This time,
I don't understand it.
The other two future people weren't available this week. So they're just nowhere to be seen.
Oh yeah, Brainy. like, his wife wasn't even mentioned. Brainy was mentioned because, like, oh yeah, we did kept that mentioning when Brainy
him, but
and I
you never see him, and you'd think that Brainiac would either be helpful in dealing with the drones. I mean, not that Wynn couldn't do it himself, but you'd think Brainiac would be able to do it really fast.
All right, now I'm mad. Why wasn't Brainiac in like Mon-El's place the whole time? Because nothing he would have done would have been any, and it could have actually added something. So like him going like, "Oh yes, we did that when we fought Zod," and then Wynn freaking out and you know. You could have had that scene, and then you could have had the glider, and then show him doing something clever because he's actually a smart guy that we've only got to see a little bit. And then her and Brainiac having that scene after going like, "We make a pretty good team. Yeah, I'm glad we were able to fight
or
side
have
by side."
Saturn Girl, do
you know,
that.
Or that. Yeah, I'm not dissing her. I know that the guesses for Brainiac have been as like a potential love interest, and I'm really tired of them not interacting because they seem really cute when they actually get to have scenes together.
Maybe
and
they're
I'm
like
tired of
drastically retooling his look because of how hard people were dunking on him online.
Maybe that's why, forget Black Lightning be on TV. That's why they put it off for like 2 months. Because it takes that long.
Well, they were
to
just
retool,
like, you know, it was like they had
look.
Like the they had already shot those first episodes with him before the pictures started coming online, and then like those episodes came out, and they're like and the pictures started getting leaked, and then they're like, uh-oh. Oh man, we are getting roasted on this, and so then they're like, all right,
yeah, they clearly were like, have you been listening to this podcast? They keep talking about
it's
how
really
bad
embarrassing
the hair
us.
Is. And so, man.
Yeah, and so it's maybe they pull. If he comes back the next time we see him and he's like, yeah, I did some upgrades on myself while I had some downtime, and he looks like a million times better, then we'll be like, okay, hey, it's fine. It's fine that you guys did this. Yeah.
I don't want to.
You know, of course, I feel like the real reason why he keeps being on there, there's other people don't have anything to do, is because that he's Melissa's boyfriend in real life.
Yeah.
And it's like.
Yeah. Also, I will say, like, another reason why they wouldn't want Brainiac there is because that is makeup they have to do, whereas you don't really have to do that with Mon-El. You just have to trim the old beard.
I think you have to put
foundation.
Like 15 quotation marks around the word beard with him, but.
Look, I know this is personal for you.
I'm just saying. Get him a fake beard or something. Like, that does not look like a 7-year beard. Yeah, I'm just saying. He should be a grown up man.
Years.
He should have like a full real beard or not.
Okay. I mean, I would like to remind you, he actually has, in the real world, the actor has not
gone
been...
gone for 7 years? Yeah, so put a fake one on him.
Yeah, so he can only... You know, DC has not had the best record for facial hair changes, artificial facial hair changes. Maybe we should just appreciate
I don't know. Maybe
what we have.
See, I feel like now, like, the longer this is going, I'm, like, turning on this episode.
So I'm trying to think of any of the good things I liked about it. I will say, even though I still don't like how they've progressed up to this point, I did think that Lena and Jimmy's relationship felt a little more like, if you're cutting just the segment that we saw in this episode, it felt like they had some chemistry, they had some rapport. I wasn't as mad about it as I've been in the past, but it also felt like it didn't feel like they were trying to rush them super far in it. It felt like actually a good, like, oh, they've been dating for a few weeks.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. I'm not saying it's great. I'm not saying I'm super excited to see them keep
it was
going
honestly,
with this, but
that was like,
but it didn't like,
you know, as for as me. Much as it bothered me in the other episodes, like at this point in the, like, It was like the least of my worries in this episode.
Yeah, you have to yeah. choose your battles.
Yeah,
it's not the hill we're gonna die on.
Because our problem has never been about the two of them being together. It's the like that they did no work in putting them together.
Absolutely, and it was super cliche and obvious what they were setting up, and it just felt really weak instead of what could have been a really nuanced story, because sometimes the show does some nuanced relationship
and it's like
work.
You know, I would say, well, you know, the way that the relationship you know, friendship has grown between Alex and Sam just in the course of like a couple episodes between, you know, with her like taking care of Ruby while she was gone, and then like coming forward, and then Sam coming forward to her about that stuff. It's like you feel like their interactions, you know, even though I made that joke about it at the beginning about like how they've only known each other for a short time and they're like so up in each other's lives, it does still feel like a little more earned. And it doesn't feel like they're not just
I would agree.
Thrown together basically in two scenes, because it's like, oh, we need you two to do so. We need you two to have something to do, and you're both attractive, so you're going to be dating now, because that's like one of the only team ups, the dating only dating team ups we have left right now.
Yeah, yeah, I feel like they built a rapport when they met in the first episode, and then going on. I do agree that like them being a foursome seems like really intense, but at the same time, like, it's been a few, I don't know exactly the timeline now, but it's definitely been past Christmas, so depending on how the timeline works with this, it's still been probably about 6 months since they've met. I don't know, very, you know, vaguely. The show doesn't really,
yeah,
with all the time jumps and stuff, you never quite know, but it's at least been past Christmas. And apparently everything's
No update
outside.
This episode on what the Legions, what the three of them, like what their plan is, like how they're trying to get back, what they're trying to do, like what, you know, supposedly, wasn't there something in one of the other episodes where they're like trying to work on something on the ship?
Something or other. Yeah, they haven't. And I'm wondering if it's going to be one of those things where Rain gets taken care of, but then whatever the Legion has to do is going to be the actual
finale. Is it just that the Legion, are they just there even though that was not their plan? You know, they're there by accident. Are they just staying now to help until the World Killers thing is taken care of?
Yeah, or that, and then maybe, I mean, the thing about that then is that if they don't do anything with the Legion's kind of plot line, they can always pull that back up next season and have them come back and be like, oh, guess what? We now actually do need your help with that thing. Sorry for not telling you about it before.
Yeah.
This is the thing, and can you help me? Especially if the lead keeps dating the actor. So that might still come back. Can we talk about the fact that Lena had to tell Kara, I think your boyfriend actually is alive and he was hanging out with Supergirl? And I mean, I'm glad that they addressed that part, but also then she was like,
it's a whole complicated thing.
Fine.
We'll talk about it later. I love that
it's a whole complicated
that they remembered.
Thing. How does Lena not, I know, I do like that, but how does Lena not figure it out? That Supergirl and Kara are the same person.
I started to ask you earlier
by all that
if you think whether or not you think she actually does know. Like, we've talked about this a bunch of times before, but there was like several points in this episode where I was like, she has to know.
It, like, logically she has to know, but the way they've written her dialogue and also the way that she's been like portrayed by Kate McGrath, it every time I try to look for like a sign that
something
of recognition or of, you know, trying to conceal recognition, and I never see that, and like the way she phrases things,
it always seems like she genuinely doesn't know. And I think that strengthens my theory that this is a world full of idiots. They're like genius idiots, but like
it's so bad. Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah. I'll say another thing I liked about this, but it also felt like completely out of nowhere, was I don't know why it was put in here, but John's whole speech to Kara about why people need Supergirl. It was like, it was a good speech, but it had nothing to do with what Kara absolutely. Was dealing and it's with also in the like, episode.
This is one of my problems I have with the way this show tries to do Supergirl. If you're just doing Supergirl, treating her as like, you're this character that's here to instill hope and yada yada, it's like treating her basically like she's Superman in this world is fine. But it's like when you've got like, Superman already existed and he was there, and like, I'm not going in a weird direction with this. I'm just saying, it's like some of these things, it feels like the stuff that they would say about Superman. And it's like, that's why, like, you have to find what makes Supergirl different. She's not just the same character, you know? Like, it's like,
yeah,
she can still be good and do all those things, but I don't know. It felt like they had that speech left over from something else and then just needed to use it.
Yeah, I mean, my bigger problem with it, I mean, I get what you're saying about, oh, this could be applied to Superman too. That one didn't.
It's not even like it bothered me. It just made me think about how they, well, it's the same way that they have kept doing this thing where they're basically just running through Superman stories and switching the genders, you know, and just going like, yeah, oh, here's your Bizarro. Here's your Lex Luthor. Here's your General Zod. But it's, yeah, here's your Brainiac. Like, Brainiac. Just doing these things where it's like, oh, but it's Indigo. Instead of being Brainiac, it's Indigo. Instead of being, you know, it's like, just, oh, we made Lex Luthor's sister for you. Like, just all these things where it's like, Supergirl has her own stuff. You don't have to just do things that people remember, sort of vaguely remember from Superman stuff. That, like, you can, she's got all her own crazy, amazing stuff that you could pull from. And, you know, like, I don't, it just starts going, like, don't, I think you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do. And like I said, it's, for me, it was, that didn't bother me as much as it did the fact that there's so many episodes where Kara doubts herself or doubts her role in the Earth. And that, those episodes would be a perfect time to have a speech about how she's a symbol of hope and she helps brighten and et cetera, et cetera. Here it just felt like, you know what I've been thinking about? When I go shopping, I was just like, you know, the thought came to my mind. I wanted to tell you, you know, give me a little boost of confidence. It was just such a strange place to put it. I feel like even in the episodes to come with her facing down Rain again, he could have said it there. It was just a very strange thing to cram into an episode that was already really disjointed.
Also, did you notice that this episode?
So that was
also
weird.
Then, like, out of nowhere, in that speech, he has that thing about the way our politicians are acting right now, fighting with each other, going in circles. It's just so divisive and not helpful. Whereas I felt like in past seasons, they would have been a little more like, this basically taking like a hard line down the middle stance of like, oh, everyone's just fighting and it's not helpful. There's bad people on both sides. And it's like, whereas in the past, I feel like they would have been a little more to one side. It seemed like oddly centrist to me, you know, like a little too middle of the road.
Yeah. And we are not anti-centrist on this podcast.
Yeah.
We're making things political. I just voted in Chicago, and Illinois just had their primary election, so I am full of piss and vinegar tonight.
Well, yeah, but there was that, and then there was also, I think, the word liberal was used more in this episode.
Yeah, to bring up
like
Catco,
more in this episode than I feel like I have seen, like in any other previous episode. And there was one; it was like Morgan Edge uses liberal to describe Lena and Jimmy like several times right in that opening bit. And he just like keeps saying it. And the funny thing was, is I didn't know what the plot for this episode was going to be. So when he gets on the, when he gets in the car, I was like, why did he say liberal so much? And then he gets in the car and immediately the radio comes on and it's like somebody talking. It's like a guy talking, blah, blah, blah. And it sounds like talk radio, you know, like pundit talk radio. And I was like, oh, is this episode going to be something about like politics and like, Yeah, but then the car,
goes crazy
and blows up, you know, and I was like, oh, this is not what it is at all. Also, that Morgan Edge, like, the first thing he does is come to where she works, not even knowing if she'll, I mean, to the company she runs, he doesn't go to the hospital, he doesn't get his goons.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah, no, he's like still
treated by anyone? Because, like, you're in it, you're in a cartoonishly ripped up suit.
And even if he's a bad guy, like that, none of them are like, oh my God, are you all right? Hold on. Let's get, we need to get some, the, you know, medical help here. Like, I know you're coming in here making wild accusations, but you've clearly, something horrible has happened.
Like, you probably have a concussion.
That's why you're acting like this.
Like, yelling. Well,
and they even said, you know, he was acting like so out of character. Yeah. Oh my Lord. But, and then the thing when she gets poisoned and, oh, hey, did you remember that Alex was a doctor in this episode? Did they get that, make that clear enough with?
I know. And the sad thing is I always remember. And then I'm always sad when they don't actually bring it up except for occasionally. Like that was why when we covered the crossover and there was so much stuff about her being science focused, I was so happy.
This kind of makes me want to go back and watch the crossover again.
The crossover is so good. I need to really jump into Legends of Tomorrow because one, we got all the Citizen Cold episodes that I was super excited about. But two, Wally West is on it, and apparently they're actually writing stuff for him to do, and I'm super excited for him to not be underused. So I really need to jump back into that show.
Also, I heard they just added Constantine,
and again,
He's about to be joining the main cast as like a series regular now, not just a guest star.
Yeah, he's been a guest star before that. Yeah, so I'm like, I really need to jump back.
Did you watch any of that Constantine show with him? Because I
no, I never got.
So the only place I have seen him, well, like the commercials for the show, the commercials look terrible, and then he was on one episode of Arrow that I had to watch back in those Comics Alliance days. And he was so awful on that. Like, hilariously awful. Like, it felt like he's doing, you know, like, he might as well have been playing Austin Powers. Like,
oh, wow.
It's just so, like,
To be fair, if an Austin Powers S Constantine would work anywhere, it would be on Legends of Tomorrow.
Right.
It is a show designed for people who chew the scenery.
Yeah.
So
maybe it works in that setting, but when you're standing next to Mr. like can't smile, you know, just super dour, you know, Green Arrow, where it's just like so serious and people are like, it's, oh man, anyway, that's like a whole other thing. I'll put the link for that episode though, for that episode write up in the show notes, and you guys can go see what we thought of, well, not me and Katie, but what we thought of on at what was it, Pointed Commentary. You can see what we thought.
So the other thing I will say that I felt like was it wasn't as bad as the Mon-El stuff in terms of rehashing old things, but I am still, I'm still kind of like half frustrated with it. Is the whole, is Lena going to turn evil this episode?
Yeah, enough already.
Yeah. And like, I will say I was almost convinced that it might have happened. Like they did build it up enough in like previous episodes that I thought maybe she would lean into that. But then when she's like, nope, I'm not leaning into it, I'm like, I'm looking forward to the next time this exact plot line happens and you get tempted again. And then you go, nope, I'm actually still a good guy.
Don't worry. Still good.
She's a character I really like. And it's frustrating that I have to keep worrying about them ruining her.
Yeah. Like once you do this once, that should kind of be the end of it. Unless you're going to get like, I feel like you can kind of only do it twice. You do it once and she stays good to subvert your expectations. And then you have her do, and then the second time it happens after there's some catastrophic thing, something that finally snaps it, but they just keep doing it. And she keeps going, nope, nope, nope. And it loses. So when she finally does, because you know eventually that's what they're going to do. They will run out of ideas. I don't trust them to.
Yeah, I'm thinking like season 6 or 7. I feel like if this show lasts that long.
I don't think they're going to wait that long.
Yeah, let's do it.
I do not think they're going to wait that long by any stretch.
Maybe I'm being generous.
You're being very generous. You're being far too kind. And this is a show I try to like. And that's still how I feel.
I mean, we like it enough that we talk about it.
Look at the fact that we are, and it's fun to talk about. I don't watch the shows we don't talk about, but I watch this one because it's fun for us to talk about it.
Literally just this show.
But
none of the other ones.
No other shows.
No other shows. But why do you even have Netflix?
But it's like, just look at how... We're only in the third season. We're like halfway through the third season, and they're already putting Jimmy and Lena Luthor together. And it's like there's no idea this show will not pass up. Like no easy, low-hanging fruit idea they will pass up. Like
Yeah, that's true. The only thing I will say, and I don't think it completely redeems the fact that they're kind of going back to this well, but I like the fact that she actually says, you know, I think I've been trying to stay away from my savviness and cleverness, like, and being kind of a little more, not assertive, but, you know, a little more cutthroat.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to turn out like, you know, evil. But I also realize that I can be cutthroat and get the job done through more not unsavory. I keep trying to come up with good adjectives for this. But yeah, I can lean into some of my skill set that I was holding back on because I didn't want to be like you.
Yeah.
And the mom's actually like, kind of proud of you. I hope you visit me in prison. I'm like, it's almost sweet.
I do not know what on earth they're trying to do with this mom, though, where it's like...
Oh, yeah, it's just random. Like, that's the thing.
Whatever characterization we need her to have for this episode is what we'll go with. Because it's like... Whatever the episode needs, you know, she's like Batman. Whatever Gotham needs her to be, she'll just...
Yeah.
Like, because there's episodes where it's like, isn't she trying to kill Lena and everybody else? Or it's like, but now she's like, you know, that I would kill, no one's going to mess with my daughter. And it's like, weren't you working with the aliens before that were that nearly killed
That's
her?
I was so convinced that she poisoned her own daughter to get her
to
come back. I was so convinced, would have felt like totally in character for her as like, it's just tough love. It's just to get you to snap out of your senses. I knew you probably would have figured out a way to not be poisoned. It's fine.
Let me ask you a question that has nothing to do with this, but it does kind of in a roundabout way.
Okay.
Now, actually, you know what? I'll go ahead and set it up first.
Okay.
What made me think of this question? I mentioned this earlier and it was super cool to see a version of the Lexo suit show up on this show. Since they've teased it before, they had it like in a box in a warehouse in a previous episode. And you could kind of see part of it back there. And then to have a full, like, full-on CGI just for her to fly around for a few seconds with some drones and shoot at Mon-El and stuff. And it's like, that should have been your episode. Have a whole big thing with her and Supergirl fighting, you know, like, or don't, whatever. But
whatever.
So you think about someone like...
You're so impassioned about this, Chris. Or don't. I don't care.
It's whatever at this point. So there's... You've got that. You take someone like her. And I was like, why on earth is she in the Lexo suit? It's like, you know, she's their mom. And then I think the same thing about Lex Luthor. Or I'm like, why is he bothering... Like, just make that a robot that you remote control so you're never in any personal danger. And then I go, well, they're like... It's a narcissistic thing that they want to feel like they're superior. And it's like their brain power that made this thing can put them out there and be in a suit
I think I know what your question's going to be, but
okay, let's see if you're right. And so you go, it's a narcissism thing with them. Yeah, makes total sense that they would still want to, it's why like Lex Luthor, even when he has it on, it's like the face is uncovered. He wants people to see him. He wants that attention. He's like such a megalomaniac, megalomaniac, and he's such a narcissist. But why does Iron Man?
Yes, I knew you were gonna.
Why
go there.
On earth?
Sorry.
Yes. Thank you. That makes me glad to know that you knew we were on the same page enough that you.
Well, God, goodness knows that when Mrs. Mom Luther was in the suit and talking to her daughter, and they did the faceplate thing. I was like, oh, okay. So you're just stealing from the MCU. Yeah. That's fine. Anyway, go on with your question.
Tony is supposed to be, like, you could say in the first movie, there's like that narcissistic thing to it, and it's like that thing of like, I'm Iron Man. Like, this is who I am. I became this coming out of that cave, you know? And it's like, and he does want that attention. That's why he tells everyone at the beginning or at the end of the first movie, he's like, instead of saying that he was off doing something and making it a secret identity thing, he's just like, no, you know what? I am Iron Man. And so you can see a little bit of that, like, it's still new to him. But at this point, I was just, because like right before I watched this episode of Supergirl, I showed April the new trailer for Infinity War. And there's that scene in there where Iron Man is flying up to Thanos' ship. And then there's like another shot in the trailer where you see Tony on the ground and his armor is all torn up. And he's like, it's there, him. And it's like, but we know he can remote control these things. Why on earth would he ever put himself in that danger when it's like, if something bad happens to you, then there's no, you know, it's so much, it would be so much smarter for you to hang back and just pilot these things because, you know, it's like, it's not like,
I mean, I would point out, wasn't that the whole plot line behind Ultron? And didn't that turn out very
No, but
badly?
those were AI. Like, he can have the suit work and he's like remotely, it's like he's still controlling it. He's just not physically in it. Like when he saves Spider-Man the first time.
So, okay, you saw Black Panther,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
So it's just Shuri.
Yeah, exactly. Like, which is exactly like, Shuri goes out there.
Or honestly, like, Iron Man 3 actually employs that a little bit.
But then
for some
reason,
the
armors are all, like, as fragile as soon as anything hits them, they just fall apart. Like, at one point in Iron Man 3, and it's a great fake out because you think that it's the whole time.
Yeah, I know what
you think that
about,
he's in the suit. And then the suit gets hit by a car and just is completely destroyed. And I was like, so he's going to be able to take getting shot by a tank, but a truck, you know, throws the armor all apart. So it's like, are you telling me that his human flesh body is what's holding all that armor together? Because I do not believe that to be the case. That's like that's like a funny joke in that moment. But if you think about it for a second, it's like the Iron Man armor should hold up. All of this is just to say, if you're a person, you know, it's like there's no reason for him to be in that suit. And I want to know if there's any, like, listeners, if you have a reason for why Tony feels like he has to be in the suit. And of course, this is talking about in the movies, but it could apply to the comics too.
And we're saying no prize.
Yeah.
Like,
if you've got some kind of answer that can make sense of this. Because I don't want to think he's just like a narcissist. Because that's basically like, or like some kind of thrill junkie or something. Because that really does not seem like what his arc in these movies is. He's getting more and more responsible and feeling like more and more. He feels
like he feels guilty for being irresponsible.
That's a better way to put it. That's what I meant.
Which is not always the same thing.
Yeah, he is still making irresponsible. He's making irresponsible decisions, but with good intention. He's not trying to be irresponsible. He's like making the wrong choices in trying to, due to his guilt over his past irresponsibility or his like perceived. what he thinks is his responsibility. But it really seems like this character has gotten increasingly more serious in these movies. I mean, and like, he's like, by the time you get to, by the time you get to Civil War, and he kind of comes out of it, it's like Spider-Man kind of helps bring him out of it some, but by the, in Civil War, I mean, he's basically like a broken person who is putting all of his sort of like emotional baggage over what's going on in his life. And like, he's trying to like project it onto, that's what Steve is doing. But it's like, hey, all the stuff that you're saying he's doing is really what's going on with you. And you don't want to admit it, you know, until of course at the end,
it's almost as if everybody in that movie was also written to be idiots. just throwing that out there. I've had less and since it's come out, I've had less and less fondness for Civil War.
Man, I don't know. I feel like it's so watchable. Like,
I mean, it's way more watchable than Ultron. I love how we're not, how long have we not been talking about a DC property on this show
about Supergirl?
Podcast?
It's, these are the questions these shows make us think of, you know, it's like anything is fair game. If it comes up within the course of the,
Speaking of things that make us think, and because this was my other objection moment while watching this episode, remember the, we have to stop the poison, bring down her body temperature by so much. I mean, I know it's comics, and I know like the recorded confession, we kind of have to just roll with it. But that was, at first when she was blowing her, you know, heat or her like freezing powers onto her best friend, I thought she was actually turning to ice because of the superpower. So I was like, are they going full cartoon and just making her like a popsicle? And then she was just, no, she's just normal. It just said her body temperature has gone down and that somehow saves her.
It stabilizes her long enough for the, met the antidote to also, like, that's like the laziest, dumbest like way to try to kill her.
It was so dumb.
Like, and these people are supposed to be like super evil geniuses, and it's like, ha, 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 my plot is I'm gonna hire a guy to carry a gun and poison your coffee. And like,
also, wait, how did the guy who poisoned her, because it's implied that he gets like killed off, but he just kind of jerks his head and falls to the ground. They never explain how.
He gets shot with a magical bullet that disappears.
Okay, so that was, oh, see, I completely missed that. But also, I have a question about that now. So was it Lena's mom?
Yes, she. That's like, what. The other word that this episode used a ton was, besides liberal, was no,
was magic.
Was
the dissolving
breadcrumb. She was like,
yeah, but only like for that.
Yeah, she's
one
like, I thought that would be a good breadcrumb
about-
to lead you back to me. Didn't you think that was a good breadcrumb? That was a nice breadcrumb, that trick I used. Like,
okay,
yes,
mom,
we get
stop
it.
I get it. You're proud of it.
Breadcrumb was on your word a day calendar today. We get it.
I completely missed that. So that's why I was completely confused. I had thought that the breadcrumb was them implanting the document about the bullet secret safe. And I'm like, that's not really a breadcrumb as much as just a gigantic sign.
That's just sending her.
Okay,
that's
that
like
makes
just
more
dropping
sense.
A pin and going like, here's, come meet me over here.
Also, so the idea is that the mom killed the person who poisoned her, but was not the one who hired the poisoning person.
The way that, but it's like, how did the mom know to have somebody watching that guy to shoot him?
Also, it turns out that's a bad idea because Jimmy could have found out how she got poisoned and what she was poisoned with.
And he would know what was going on.
Like, so good job,
I thought it was
Mom.
Like, oh, Edge killed
good
her.
Good job.
Okay, to, like, cover his tracks. But then Edge really seemed to not have any idea what Jimmy was talking about when he went to attack him.
Unless
somehow we both missed a plot point. And I feel
something.
Like I was...
Or if this gets like revealed later that it's some other diabolical fiend in another episode, but they didn't imply at all like, oh, there's still a mystery.
Yeah, because he admitted it.
You because
he said it was all me.
Yeah,
and it's like, even though
But, like, again, he was basically held at gunpoint. But, I mean,
that's not what they want us to think about. They want us to just go, ah, oh, see, yeah, she got him.
So, yeah, this was all... The only other thing that made me kind of laugh about this was, like, in this episode, like, it was the part that I thought was kind of funny, was when Lena wakes up and she's like, I had a dream that you were flying and carrying me. Man. And Kara does her, what? You mean like Supergirl? That's crazy. I can't fly.
Even though I
and
look
I
was like, just I miss, like her. And...
Unless I've looked just like her. But I have missed the Kara who can't lie very well. I don't feel like we've seen that in recent. Like,
She still lied, though. She straight out lied. She was like, I wish.
I know, but that's what. But still, it's not very convincing.
Yeah.
I wish I was like, because she was one who brought up I didn't bring up Supergirl. I just said you were
flying.
Yeah,
I just said flying.
I'm not Supergirl.
Yeah, she might as well have said that.
Yeah.
Well, because they used to kind of like hem and haw about like Superman never lies. And it's like, you know, and it seems like they're basically trying to treat her like with that same kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's just like.
Of course, if you're talking about Silver Age Superman, he lied all the time and was a complete.
Sort of. I don't dingus. Know. Maybe.
I mean, I've read some of those Lois Lane Superman girlfriend comics, and he's pretty awful.
Well, it's like, because he's like the antagonist in the story.
Yeah.
Like, to make her the protagonist, they went the odd route of, oh, okay, instead of giving her own stuff to do, we'll make basically Superman the antagonist.
Yeah. Yeah, and basically tricking her into being sent off to other countries and
this,
stuff.
This, that, and the
I'm
other
very,
thing.
I'm very concerned. And I know people who will, like, back up that series. I'm like, really, though? I mean,
well,
really?
I mean, I think it's that kind of thing where you're like, what are you in this for? Like, are you reading this for it, like, something that you know is just going to be like, so I can't believe they published this? Which I think is how most people enjoy that.
That is true.
I mean, and there's good, like, workmanship in it to enjoy from, you know, from that period in comics.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like...
And I know someone did make the case to me that... The one thing you will say about Lois in that is that she never gives up. And, like, no matter how much, like, men try to, like, to
trick
basically
her or,
bring her down. Yeah, or, like, make her give up, like, any of her plans. She's always, like, back the next issue to do something else.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, okay.
She's unsinkable.
At least our tangent this time was in the same universe.
Yeah.
That's this one. I feel like we've gone through most of the
I've only got one last thing I wanted to talk about. It was like my final note. But I was going to ask if you had anything you wanted any final thoughts on the episode.
No, next episode is cuz I do actually get to see the previews is going to actually go back to the Reigns 2 Horsemen of the Apocalypse or whatever. And specifically the one that we've already ID'd.
Yeah. And that Supergirl has had visions of already as well.
Yeah, that felt very, very lazy.
Yeah.
We know it's her because I saw it in a dream.
Yeah.
I don't know why I saw it in a dream or how that relates to anything, but
yeah,
that's an easy way to point out the character. So we'll see how that goes.
Oh, I had something.
Anyway,
I had something
say?
About those about the. You got any theories on? You know, they say they narrow it down to those four people, and they know it's two of them, and then they know who one of them is. You have any thoughts or conjecture about who what the deal with those
no,
other two people?
Yeah, I barely saw the other faces.
Okay.
They all looked like women that had hair and had faces.
I think you nailed it.
Yeah, yeah. Call me Sherlock Holmes because this mystery is solved. I did find it very kind of ridiculously video game first bossy that you could only see one of them.
Oh, I loved that. I absolutely loved that.
Because I was like, I saw it and I was like, why are we not seeing the other person? Like, and I was like, oh, it's a dream. It's a dream. That's why.
Yeah.
I'm like, also, this seems like really fast for this character already be like in a league. But also, why is the other one blurred? Oh, okay. Because they don't want to show us yet.
It's like they literally just didn't even render that character.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they just left it blank. Oh,
she's just she's just a big old blur, a big old blob. Which, again, which, like, do you have any idea? I'm like, no, I have no clue. They'll tell us. It's fine.
Well, no, I just mean, like, as far as it's like, you know, they've got four characters who have got, like, crazy origins of where, like, they can't get hurt or whatever. And I'm like, what are they going to do with those other two?
It'll probably be like, oh, adrenaline.
Yeah, oh, okay. Something like that. Just, oh, those, we'll probably never hear about it again.
Yeah, exactly. Like, unless there's some, like, major twists and it turns out that they're actually something else, but I just don't see them doing that. So, yeah. What was the other thing I was going to say? I thought it was one more thing and then I'll be done. I thought it was fascinating that, despite all of Rain's superpowers and stuff, that they were actually able to draw blood from Sam. And I have no idea what that's about.
I don't either, especially
they were very specific about it. Like,
I kept waiting for that to be the moment.
Yeah.
You know, so, when something happens.
So it makes me wonder if, like, her body physically changes or if...
Well, she got shot that first time while she was still Sam, and it went through, remember it, like, it went through her coat or whatever, but then she wasn't hurt.
Yeah.
So I imagine it's going to have to be some kind of thing of, like, they're going to explain it as, oh, she was letting you do it. So, like, her body didn't react to it.
Oh, no. That means that what they're going to have to do to stop Rain is have them kill Sam while Sam is Sam.
Oh, no. That's exactly what they're going to do.
We're like, oh, it's going to be like a Dark Phoenix sort of thing. Yeah, where it's like, yeah. So, you know, you have to look me in the eyes while I'm still the innocent person to kill me. You can't kill me while I'm my evil alter ego.
Yeah.
Man, I hate being able to figure this out because it's a real bummer every time.
Yeah, every time you know exactly what they're going to do.
I swear, I was on my Facebook. It, you know how it does the like oh, remember back to this thing, like,
yeah,
from this date, from the same date, like 8 years ago. There was one where I was writing for a TV website, and I had, like, I was so sure I knew what, like, the season finale for Community was going to do. Like, I was so sure. And then I saw the post of me going, like, guys, I think this theory is amazing. And I'm like, I'm so sure I'm right. I'm like, oh, you sweet summer child. What were you thinking? It did not happen. So yeah, like, I apparently never get to have, like, the happy hypotheses.
Oh.
But yeah, it's all the bummer stuff that where I go, oh, no, I know what they're going to do.
Yeah. When it's like, I know what they're going to do. Oh, no. Not, oh, I think I know what they're going to do.
Yeah. Wait, are you actually saying that, or are you?
No,
are
I'm
you...
saying, like, you never get that one come true.
Yeah, it's always, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, I think that they dwell too much on the needle. And the fact that she says she doesn't like needles, so, yeah, like, they really implied that, yeah.
She's also only talked to Alex. She only mentioned the memory stuff. She did not mention any of the stuff where she's like, oh, I didn't get hurt when this happened. And, like, oh, I bent this thing. Like,
I'm wondering if they erased.
Oh, can they do that?
The witch, maybe. They can do a lot of things.
They haven't told
apparently
us about it, so how would I know?
Yeah, exactly. Ugh. But I mean, like, she doesn't remember her trip to. She doesn't remember her trip to find the cave or whatever.
Fortress of not solitude.
Of evil-tude.
Yeah, what is it? Oh, what do they call it? Because it's like, it's something else with an S, but It's like the Fortress of Solemnity or the Fortress of... Say, why don't we hang out here a while?
And be evil in confusing ways.
Because Superman's is out in the cold. So you got to have hers be in the desert because she's bad.
We would have put it on the sun, but you know, we felt that was a little, that was a little too on the nose.
Oh, man.
So yeah, this episode was a mess.
Yeah. Not like entirely bad though. I mean, it was like,
there were parts of it. And like, even the like lackluster parts, there were elements of it I didn't like hate.
It's like this episode was like schlocky and just kind of like felt thrown together. It wasn't offensive, though.
Yeah, I mean, besides the Sam stuff, which could have been done in any other episode because it was the B-plot, but it felt like the only thing they really accomplished was, like, Morgan Edge's out of the way, which, like, he was a side villain anyway.
Yeah.
So, eh.
I mean, but who says who? That he's gone, like, you know.
Yeah, he could be
back.
We
thought Lillian was out of the way a number of times, it feels like.
Yeah.
And she just keeps showing back up whenever she wants.
I mean, she even applied that, like, I hope you see me in jail, but I might not be there.
Wink.
Like, yeah, we know.
She literally winked.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like the police, FBI, whatever, are like standing right there. It's like someone.
Don't be so rude to them. Yeah. They'd work really hard to try to keep you in jail.
It's like the real button on that scene should have been her saying that, and then like one of them tasering her. And they're like, "Oh no, you're not getting out this time." And then like one of them like.
I mean, she's already strapped down. That might be a little excessive.
She's a supervillain. She was just wearing a flying armor suit. I feel like the rules change a little bit once you introduce flying armor suits into the equation, which is kind of why, you know, like some of this stuff with superheroes, like I kind of wish they would lean away a little bit from things, from trying to make things so realistic, because these things can't really like sustain reality as we know it.
You really need to watch Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, I guess I do.
Like, I mean, it's pretty goofball.
Dude, so I took April to see Black Panther last night.
Uh-huh.
That was the thing.
Oh, just last night?
Yeah, just last night. Well, I had already seen it, but she couldn't go.
Oh, okay.
She couldn't go. And
I was worried there.
No, you waited that long?
No,
I went and saw it as soon as I could get tickets, even though it took me like 4 days to be able to actually get tickets. And I will happily announce, if you haven't heard, that Memphis was like the number one grossing Black Panther city or something like that. Like we got some kind of accolade for how many people, how hard it was to go, how many screenings.
See, you're gonna be so mad at me because my first watching of that was actually in an early screening that I got in for free.
Boo.
Yeah, I know.
Quit bragging. It doesn't work there though, because that it actually could be construed as a brag. But between like moving and everything and like all this other stuff we've just been having to worry about. Which, oh, by the way, listeners, that explains why I have not had internet for like...
It's all Chris's fault.
It totally
100%.
Is. But the thing that's really exciting is like now at this new place, we bought a house and we have a new house. It's very exciting. Well, the house isn't new, but I mean, it's new to us. And, but...
That's the important part.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's super great. We're very excited about it. But we've got like new internet here, which is much, much faster and more reliable. So some of the problems we've had in the past, like that you listeners might not know about, but that Katie certainly knows about like...
I know about it so much.
Yeah. When like basically at my old house, every time it would rain, the internet would go out. And just because it was a much older house and it was like bad wiring and blah, blah, blah. But now at this new place, we have like much, much faster, more reliable internet, which is very exciting, and it allows me to have like a better, more reliable recording setup. But the big problem was is that, you know, when you move, not only was like all of our stuff just in completely in disarray as we had it all packed up and trying to like get everything unpacked in a hurry and trying to figure out where things are going to go in this new place and blah, blah, blah. But then like there was this period of time at the old house where we didn't have internet and also didn't have time to do things on the internet. And then once we moved here, like trying to get the internet people to just come out and like set this, you know, hook it up. Like it just, they were like, oh no, we're not going to have anybody available until whenever. So it was like a long stretch where I was just like going crazy with no internet. So that was the problem. And that's part of why we had such a long break was, I mean, it's completely my fault, except for the part that it's like the internet couldn't get here. They could have sent someone out sooner. But, so that was the deal with that. Anyway, I don't know why we were talking about that. Oh, but we just finally got, she got to see, we went to see Black Panther last night. So I saw that and then we came home and, she wanted to see the trailer for Infinity War. So then we watched that and then she went to bed and I watched Supergirl. But you start thinking about that stuff in Black Panther where they're like really talking about like real things with as far as like class and the way the world is set up and all these things.
And colonialism and how it's the ultimate evil. Yeah. And
but then it led to, you know, April and I, and April's an anthropologist. So this is like all,
oh, she must have loved that.
And she, but she's like, you know, she's like crazy all about that kind of stuff. So she, you know, and she starts thinking, you know, then we get into this discussion about it, about how, you know, just there's all this stuff. And it's like some of these things really, it's once you start trying to put superhero comic stuff too much on a real world narrative, it start like everything just starts kind of falling like a house of cards where you're really like, oh, this doesn't actually make sense. And it's like, oh, there's actually no such good. There's no such thing as a good king, really, because all monarchies are kind of inherently bad. And, you know, stuff like, you know, there's just, and you go like, oh, well, things have to be this such and such a way because that's the history of the character. And then you go, but yeah, these were just made by a handful of people in the, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever. And they were just trying to crank stuff out to sell to kids who were just going to throw them away. It was never meant to be treated quite this seriously.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of, it makes you go like, I probably should just turn around and stop going down this path and just go, oh, let's just enjoy this fun thing. And just, but all of that stuff is there just kind of right under the surface.
Yeah.
Which is all to say, if she was just wearing a flying armor suit, then she can get tasered when she's winking about how she's going to break out of jail.
Okay.
You
did your math there. I'm okay with that answer. That's all I got for this episode though.
My final thing was just, I realized while I was watching this episode that truly, and we talk about this kind of thing all the time about like, and it ties directly into that, what I was just talking about coincidentally about how things are trying to be realistic, but then there's very unreal in a very, it's like trying to put unrealistic things in a realistic world or like something with the semblance of a realistic world that we recognize. And I realized finally on this episode that the most unrealistic thing about this show is how long the characters on this show give each other to make points and finish thoughts. And then followed by that other character actually listening and then taking that advice to heart. Like when you try to tell you, when your friends ask your advice on stuff and then you tell them, it's like, don't you feel like 9 times out of 10, they're only asking if you're going to tell them what they want to hear. And it's like, and if you don't tell them what they want to hear, they're going to do what they want to do anyway.
Yeah. I know.
But it's just like on this show, Alex was like, Sam, you can't close yourself off like this. I almost did something like this. And let me tell you this long story about it. And you're not going to say a word. You're not going to interrupt. You're not going to try to finish my thoughts for me.
this seems like something, though, that one is in like a lot of superhero media, but also is like, that's also just like a TV thing.
Yeah, but, no, I know. I'm being silly. But it's just like, I was going like, man, she is really just, because it would like cut back to Sam listening just intently. And I'm like, wow, this show is like, they really just let each other talk on here. And then she like really listened. Because like then when Alex got done, she was like, you've got to not do that. And then she didn't. They went and found their other friends, you know, and were like, all right, I'm letting you guys in. Just like she said, I'm taking her advice. And this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And it's like, that is, no one is that. It's great.
Yeah.
And the way those scenes were, I mean, the acting in those scenes was, you know, felt very sincere.
For how stupid the characters are, make stupid choices and like, and don't pick up on things. They at least do this.
Yeah. Maybe that's like the one, that's like the big difference in their world from ours is that like, yeah, everybody's dumb and has no common sense. But when their friends give a monologue, they really listen.
Yeah. Which isn't the worst thing.
Yeah, no, totally. And So anyway. So, Katie, tell everyone where they can find you and what you've got coming up, where you're going to be, and all of that fun stuff.
Before I do that, I'm actually going to shout out something that recently happened in the Supergirl comics. I believe it's the most recent issue had Kara befriending a non-binary person. It's a brand new character, but they handle the non-binary representation really well. I've heard from a lot of non-binary pals of mine who have read the issue and were just completely blown away. So it was just very nice to have that be kind of a current Supergirl thing going on. So I would highly recommend you check out that issue.
Do you know what the number is, or did you already say?
I can try to look really quickly.
No, just the most recent one?
Yeah, it was the most recent one.
Okay, I'll put it in the show
notes. I think it was last week. I have a few things coming. I'm actually going to be at C2E2. I am going to be, at least for part of the con, I'm going to be at Chad Sell's table, whose number I don't know, but you can look up... You can look at my Twitter during the con. I'll probably be tweeting out about that and when I'll be helping Matt at his table. Besides that, I'll be walking around. Before C2E2, on Thursday, April 5th, I'm actually going to be doing an off-site panel discussion at the bookseller bookstore on 4736-8 North Lincoln Avenue in Chicago. We're going to be talking about Catwoman and about her different iterations. If you know Caitlin Rosberg from the AV Club, she and I are going to be on the panel together with Lauren Burke, Angela Jade Bastian, and Tim Hanley. So it should be a really good time, and I'm looking forward to get to talk to about Selena Kyle and all of her many different forms.
Let me just sidestep that for a moment, or derail you for a second to, what do you think of this marriage? How are you feeling on it?
Yeah, it's fine.
If you're not following along with what's going on in comics right now, and you just watched Supergirl, the TV show, what we are talking about is the fact that Batman and Catwoman are about to get married.
I'm largely I think it's fine. I've seen a little bit of how they're being written right now, and they've been pretty charming together. I think Tom King does a good job of writing both of them. I really like the fact that I think it's Janelle Jones who did, or Joelle Jones, who also drew the Supergirl being super that we've talked about on the podcast before. She's doing the art for a lot of the recent issues, and she actually designed Selena Kyle's bridal gown. Yeah, and you can totally tell that it's because she's so good at fashion and like and having that eye for it, and the dress is really cool. In terms of the wedding itself, I'm kind of, you know, I like their dynamic, but I'm also not like a huge shipper of the two of them. Like in terms of long-term stuff. And I also know because of the way comics are that this is going to get undone in some way, shape, or form down the line. So there's always that, like, it's the way of, like, that long continuity sort of storytelling. But considering for a long time, in the last few years, DC was, like, anti-superheroes getting married, period. The fact that they're, like, making this a big event, I'm not completely mad about. And again, I've heard really good things about how their relationship has been treated in this current run. So I'm...
But you haven't been reading it actively?
I haven't been reading it. I would also point out that it would be really nice if they mentioned that every once in a while that Catwoman is actually bisexual, because they brought it up in one arc and then they haven't mentioned it since. And just because she is engaged to a man does not change her sexual orientation. But that's just my little note.
I'm trying to think of, like, where it would have come up in any of the conversations they've had in these issues, though, of, like, where it's stuff where they're, like,
yeah, but they
out on missions.
Have.
Like, yeah, oh, here's my friend. Here's my friend Superman and his wife Lois Lane. And, like, this is my fiance Catwoman. Oh, by the way, she's bisexual. Like,
no, but
I get what you're saying. I'm just, like, I'm literally just trying to think of, like, where it would have fit into what has happened in some of the issues. Like, where
yeah,
it would
but
have
they've
fit
talked
in the...
about, I mean, like, you know, them talking about their pasts and everything, they could have, I mean, there are ways they could do it. And I'm also really criticizing not just King's Batman stuff, but really just how Catwoman has been used before this. Because as soon as Genevieve Valentine was off that book, it was never brought up again. And her girlfriend was supposed to be a crime lord of Gotham. And that just has not, like, that character has not shown up since then either. So even, like, even just acknowledging that she's still exists would have been very nice for me. Trust me, I'm already, like, this is going to be part of the panel discussion that I'm going to bring up these points. So if you enjoy me complaining about this stuff, definitely go to this panel discussion, because I'm going to bring it up. Yay. But yeah, definitely if you're in town for the show and you're here on Thursday, it's going to be on the north side at the bookseller. So seller, C-E-L-L-A-R. And then in terms of future projects and things, as I've said on the podcast before, I have a graphic novel coming out June 5th. We are finally getting some promotional stuff out into the world. We just got a glowing review from Kirkus. We got a starred review, which is pretty, I wouldn't say rare, but it's like, it's not common for them to give stars out for their reviews. So I'm over the moon about that. And we also got one from Comicosity, which was a 10 out of 10 review. So it's looking really good for the book. It's the Cardboard Kingdom. And like I said, it's out in June. And then I also have a kind of one-shot comic coming from John Troutman. It's going to be, I believe, in end of April, early May, when that's going to be out in the world. And it's going to be through Comixology. So that will look out for that.
All good stuff to be.
And then I don't know. And then my Twitter and stuff. I think you guys already know it.
It's all and as always, we'll put all that stuff in the show notes.
Yeah. Chris, where can people find you?
Thank you. People, you can find me. I'm at the Chris Haley basically on everything. Twitter and Instagram. And you can follow the show on Twitter at KICTM Podcast. Get all the show notes and all the stuff. Find out about the other shows, all that kind of good stuff at keepitclosetome.com. I've got a Patreon, which is patreon.com/thechrishaley, unless I'm horribly mistaken, which I don't think I am in this particular instance. Katie also has a Patreon.
patreon.com/justplainsomething.
Yes. And you can check out our respective things there. At those places. Thank you to everyone who has left reviews on iTunes for the show or that tweets about the show. Cannot tell you what a big deal it is like when you do that stuff because it really does help us out. Nothing says loving like smashing that retweet button.
So close.
That kind of stuff, like word of mouth is like absolutely the best thing that you can do. So if you like the show, tell somebody about it. Like when you see we've got a new episode.
And we also like to know that people are listening.
Yeah.
That
that's another.
They enjoy the words coming out of our mouths.
That's another.
So it encourages us to actually get these out on time when we can.
Yeah. When we know that there's people out there just hungry for this content, it makes you really want to not turn those people into enemies who are mad at you for not getting the content out soon enough. And thankfully now that we've already talked about our plans for the following stuff, the episodes that follow this one. So we've got a little bit better, more of a game plan going into from here on out, which hopefully will be good and fun. And yeah, you folks are great. Thank you for those of us that do those things. For those of you, whatever, you get the idea. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
I think that's good
We're
enough.
Rambling
I think that's
now.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's about it. And we'll see you next time for more Supergirl Gab.
Bye, everybody. Yeah. That you needed to know that, but just know that I'm full of food and ready to podcast.
Yeah, no, I mean, but that's, it puts us on like a good, you know, we know where everyone stands as far as how
our
we're coming into
our
this
mental
thing.
Mindset, yes.
Yeah. I had a little nap
that's
earlier,
good.
So I am like totally raring to go.
Sounds good.